Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show that shares insights into how you can build your business once, with hosts Jerry Lowry and Jennifer Navarrete. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and with me is Sherry Lowry, who is sharing her 20-plus years of knowledge on what it takes to build your business once. Now, Sherry, on today's show, we're talking about when you sent this across the line, I said, you and your many ways of being in relationship in your business. I thought, okay, I dig it. I'm ready to dive in. Let's see what this is all about.
Okay. Well, I had no idea what I was opening up when I wrote the title, and then I began to really seriously think about over the two more than decades that I've been in this particular business, how many different ways I actually have been and am still in relationship. And I know in your business, though it is in media, it's in a different format, so to speak, it's a tandem business in some other ways, and we have very many overlapping ways of being in business and doing business and our relationships in business. So I made a list of all the different ways I knew for sure I was in relationship, and I didn't know how many of those were going to strike chord and resonance with you. So I thought the best way to find out was to ask you.
Yeah, no, I, like I said, I read it and I thought, okay, so being in relationship with my clients, with industry professionals, with colleagues, and in my community, and I will say it did strike a chord with me because the folks that are my colleagues were people that originally started out as being in community with me. Because if you'll recall, I started all of this because of podcasting, and I wanted to be with fellow podcasters so we could kind of talk shop to some extent, even though, you know, shop was really just this hobby, new techie thing. But then all of a sudden it transitioned to where we were colleagues because we started to actually work in this space. And now fast forward, you know, a dozen years later, we are now industry professionals because what was a hobby has turned into an industry. And then being in relationship with my clients is something that that as we build that contract or that agreement, it's always in collaboration and in partnership, and we're doing this together, and we touch base to make sure we're on track and see if we've either, you know, chased a rabbit down a hole that didn't need to be chased or whether we need to stay on track. So this would, like I said, this title is something I'd never put into words, but that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it is, I think. And I realized yesterday as I was driving through Austin with most of it closed, almost all of it closed, I had a big smile on my face as I went by every one of my bank branches and realized over the years how many people, because I've lived in three different parts of Austin since 2002, I realized I have banking relationships with one bank but in multiple places depending on who's in charge of that particular bank branch. And I thought it was funny on a holiday that I was smiling about having good bank relationships, but it fits right in with this. They're part of my business model. They have relationship to the stage of business I'm in, and in some ways they have a relationship to the business structure I'm in, because, you know, it involves my how I do my billing, how I do I don't have any collection problems, and that's partly because I never have any banking issues, and they're responsible for part of that. So let's talk about first how we're in relationship to client. In my case, almost all my clients tend to be either founders or owners or high potentials in their firm if they are employed or full-time contracted. And so a lot of the thinking we do together and the decisions they make as a result of us being together do impact other people. I know you're in a little bit different client relationship because you have a multiplicity of types of clients that you work with. Jennifer, can you talk just a little bit about how that may differ in terms of the types of relationships you have with your clients?
Absolutely. So if I think back to the early days of my business, it was a lot of one-on-one or one-to-small. And lately it's become, it's still that, but the growing trend is really more on the corporate side and the agency side. And I shared in an earlier episode how that concepting of working with larger entities, it used to frustrate me because they move like cruise ships as opposed to speedboats, which is the way my mind operates. And in the early days of my business, when I wanted to see the end result quickly and work with clients who were willing to jump into the speedboat with me, that worked really well. But as my business has matured and as things have changed, I can appreciate having the variety of clientele. And you talked about this, Sherry, in another episode and in a couple of episodes, actually, about having clients at different stages. And so I enjoy the speedboat clients, but I have learned to appreciate the cruise ship clients. And so having that mix really has become the big piece that is satisfying to my business.
Yeah, that's right. And next session in show 25, we're going to get a little bit more into the business model and stage and business structure, because I believe some point at along the way next show, I do want to begin to bring in the one-page business plan and structure process, and how you can keep pulling that out or keep it top of desk, but keep pulling it out of the drawer on a regular basis, out of the file, and revamp from where you are. And so that's going to come as we're talking a little bit more about the changing relationship that we have with our own business over time. And that can also kind of naturally lead us into the relationship we have at this point with our industry. I helped start my particular industry, though I did not realize I was doing that at the time, because I was early on the scene for the whole concept of business coaching. And where I got that idea in the very, very, very beginning, like almost three decades ago, was when professional shoppers came on board. I lived in Houston at the time. Neiman Marcus introduced the concept of professional shoppers. And I thought, wow, I wonder, I don't know of a thing like that I could hire as a professional business person. You know, who is a person you could go to talk about the business of the business? Not just the industry, but how do you actually put this thing together that I want to start? And at the time, I had a 20,000 client organization that I was the executive director of, so I wasn't going to do it just immediately, but I already had it kind of in my eye, mind, you know. And you started out in your industry, like you mentioned, as a pioneer and bringing in more fully, especially into your area of locale in San Antonio and your outreach from there, the whole concept of, and that was when blogging was, you know, beginning to be on the forefront, and podcasting already was established not very much here in the way that you helped get it established. Can you speak how your industry changed? Just a little bit, you referenced it, but in your personal relationship, what kind of benefit did that bring into you as your industry itself started to change?
So in the early days, like anything else, it's just a few techie, geeky folks who are playing with something new, and you know, we of course think it's the best thing since sliced bread, but the average business person has no idea what it is that we're talking about. And I would go to business mixers and things here in San Antonio, and one of the topics that, you know, everyone inevitably says is, what are you working on or what's new in your business? And I would talk a little bit about podcasting and would ask folks if they were listening to podcasts or if they were podcasting themselves. And majority of the time I got the blank looks where folks had no idea what I was talking about. And so I was speaking Klingon is the way I kind of gave that comparison, speaking a foreign language that no one understood. But then time passed, and all of a sudden folks would come to me and say, you know, you've been talking about that, the podcasting and blogging and social media for a while now. And, you know, we're wondering, can you come talk to our breakfast group? Can you come talk to our lunch and learn? Can you come talk to my company? Can you come, you know, give a class, you know, do a course? And it shifted over time. And then, of course, it then kind of got into a little bit of a lull, you know, because now everybody was kind of doing it. And most recently, I've seen a resurgence of interest in a lot of these things as far as education goes. and also as far as business goes, because now there's a lot of big business that are doing, you know, let's just take podcasting, for example, that are really delving into podcasting because it's growing quite a bit. And now that's, in the last couple of years is really where the agency side of my business began, was that someone who had known me for many years, knew me as a podcaster, knew me as someone in the community, was working for an agency and said, you know, one of our clients is really interested in launching a podcast. And when I thought of that, the first person I thought of was you. And so
Yeah.
I was interested in meeting with us and seeing what maybe if there's a potential, you know, working opportunity. And I became someone who now works with agencies. I have a production team and my company works with, you know, advertising agencies or digital agencies on behalf of them and works with, directly with their clients and does the post-production and makes sure that everything gets done and set up properly. And so that's been really gratifying to see this shift to where what, for me, I knew was the best thing since sliced bread in the audio medium. Now it's becoming appreciated by the mainstream and then being able to financially benefit from that and also steer them the right way, because there's going to be snake oil salesmen in any scenario. I don't care what it is, there will be snake oil salesmen in your industry. And so being able to really steer folks the right way on how to do those things properly and just the way that it should be done is really great. And hopefully, you know, stymies that potential snake oil salesman from coming in there and taking advantage of folks because they don't know and they don't understand. And it's a ripe opportunity for that. But because we have such a really robust community that knows how to do it right, because we developed a community that way, I haven't personally experienced it, but I have heard stories, which is why I'm just such a big, you know, advocate for community education and you know, co-organizer for the Social Media Club and Social Media Breakfast chapters in San Antonio. And I have those monthly meetings because it's important for folks to know that there is a way, you know, there is a community that cares and that we can kind of go to one another with some of those pain points in our industry in a safe way. So that way we can make sure that what gets released out into the wild is hopefully, you know, the proper way that things should be done, and not, once again, not allowing the opportunity for snake oil salesmen to come in there and kind of, I guess they would say, wreck shop.
That's right. Yeah, I think the key word was education. We both have been in a position to educate our industry to some extent, and definitely our community, and that makes all the difference. And it also gives them almost a checklist of whether they're coming to us or somebody else. We've helped them understand what they need to know and what they need to ask, you know, in advance. So part of this, and then one of the relationships I was going to talk about today is to our creative self. You and I both have in common that we like to be on pushing edges of our own, and we also are early adopters, and we're willing to experiment and explore, you know, in new territories. Yours have been a little bit more media and electronics involved. Mine have been, and concepts as well, and theories and that kind of thing, and testing the water. And mine have been a little bit more in the way of being with people and how that can differ, the whole skill, the 11 core competencies that I work from on all relate into building relationship, building trust, exploring boundaries, helping stretch boundaries, all that kind of thing with people. So we both have gone at this as creative endeavors to keep inventing and reinventing ourselves. And part of this whole month of work we're doing is building your business base once, meaning the operational principles and, you know, the concepts on which we base our value and extend our services. But also there's a little bit of and laced through that of reinvention. We both have reinvented our business and expanded in new territory, you know, moved away from old territory. And yet, through all that, a lot of the same people, you know, have been accompanying this with. And that might bring us to a little bit of a discussion about tribe and the importance of our go-to people and who we have become a go-to person for business actual happening. business exchanges, business transactions, business of the business, also who we soundboard with, who we drop back to and with when we've had a disappointment, who do we almost always share excitement and successes with along the way. And for me, it's become a tribe that is both national and international as well as local. And it started out for me because I didn't have the local tribe, the local community that I thought I would find in Houston, but I did find it nationally. And you and I had not met yet, and so I don't know how that started for you, but I know you are part of a national and international scene now.
Yeah, I guess we talk about community and really that growth and being part of it. You know, joining something like Social Media Club and Social Media Breakfast, I was actually approached by someone who was running the group in Austin, saying you really need to create a chapter for San Antonio. And at the time, I was running events and running my group, and thought I don't know if that's more commitment than I want to do. But she was very, very persistent that I needed to do it. And finally, I thought okay, and I did. And then I realized why there was value there and why it was important. Because even though I was very active in the community already, there needed to be a platform that was this larger than San Antonio platform that made everyone realize that, oh, this isn't just happening here. It's happening all over the world. And you, by being part of it, can see what's happening, you know, globally in this space. And it was a really kind of liberating thing. And then the next thing was Social Media Breakfast, and that launched maybe probably 6 months after. And I had a different co-organizer for that group. And that group is interesting because we were hot and heavy for many years, but then as the folks that were attending our meetings and then ourselves as organizers became actually busy in the space, you know, running our businesses in the social media and, you know, multimedia and online media industry, that all of a sudden we didn't have time for meetings. And it faded out for over a year, probably a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years. But most recently, our former members, for probably the last 6 to 7 months, had really been trying to press us to start up monthly meetings again. And that kind of surprised me because I thought, well, there's so much information available online now and there wasn't then. And there's so much going on now and there wasn't then. Why would we need to start meeting again? But they were just so insistent. I was getting inbox messages. I was getting calls. I was getting emails where people were just like, we really wish you would bring that back. And I thought, well, okay. So in August, I went ahead and said, let's see what's going to happen. And I did that first meeting, and the response was I was surprised at the response. The folks that had been who had attended meetings before were thrilled to have this platform back. Then we had new folks that had weren't around back in the day, weren't around to the city, weren't around to the space, and they were thrilled that there was such a thing in existence where they could go that was safe and trusted and really talk about the nuts and bolts of working in this industry and working on projects and really kind of get that learn, share, grow in a space that was that wasn't competitive, that was collaborative, that was the co-opetition
Yes, and that's the key. I think we're talking about tribe. At least for me, we're talking about tribe. And part of my tribe was interested in coming to San Antonio originally for our international exploration kind of involvement. But that went right along in tandem with social media, and I was part of Social Media Club too, just, you know, as you were. And we were delighted whenever you would come over here, and we look forward to the opportunity to periodically come to San Antonio. And so we were developing community on both ends of that, from the coaching end. Many of us were involved because we were so interested in that whole technology and way of communicating, because our business is communication. And it fit with the business model, and it was a perfect time of change for all of us. It was also something else, Jennifer, when the social media expansion began, and blogging and podcasting and this whole thing, went across industries, and it began to bring industries of difference together with a common interest and shared benefit. So we would have people from all kinds of industries coming to those meetings that never had a reason to show up just for one branch of the field. So I thought it strengthened the business model of that each of us was building on. So I really have enjoyed talking with this, with you about some of this and history. And we're having a revival here in Austin as well. Our whole International Coach Federation is at a very robust time, and its chapter development. You're seeing a major resurgence and kind of return to new phase of life, industry-wise, in San Antonio, too, and we can do more things together around that. So do you have any last comments you want to make about the session today? And then I want to get into just a tiny bit about what we're going to be leading into for next time.
Right. Now, I just think that that whole community piece and that tribe piece, it wasn't just San Antonio, it wasn't just Austin. It was Houston, it was Dallas, it was all those spaces in between. And because we were all, I know you were traveling here, I was traveling there. I was traveling to Dallas and I was traveling to Houston. I know you were too during this time because we really wanted to develop that community and that tribe. And there wasn't that many of us at the time. So I feel very close to all the community leaders in those cities and still do today because of those early days, Texas is big, folks. If you're not from Texas, you don't understand that if we're jumping in the car and making an effort, it's because we really want to.
That's true. Yeah, and I was fortunate enough from the very beginning because there was a lot of stuff based in Houston, but it was mostly happening outside of Houston. It went beyond Texas, it went to national, and then that quickly went to English-speaking global countries for me. So rather than cultivate all over Texas, I was cultivating all over North America initially. And then the UK, I had the interest of the UK, and Germany, but pretty much we were the illiterates here in the United States. Always everybody else spoke English as their second language, which was a very good quality English. So that's been really, really great, for me. And I have maintained those national and international relationships, and I know you have too. Well, next time, I want to talk a little bit more about what kind of evolving business model this has created. Almost serendipitous. It's almost been like with serendipity, but at the same time with purpose for both of us in different ways. And what stage I now find my business entering, you have found your business entering, how that's changed our business structure a little bit. And again, we're going back to the build your business once. How do we keep evolving our business over time as trends come and go, as relationships deepen and expand, and as new technologies embrace us with their presence? And I also want to touch just a little bit on how we can take that foundation, use it as a springboard for exploration and adventure, but also as a safety net, and how that has our back, so to speak. So thank you for the time today.
Fantastic. Relationship-based business foundation, that is the topic for tomorrow's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Set a reminder for 9:30 a.m. Central every day in the month of November to listen to daily episodes of the Build Your Business Once show.